Today we are going to learn about the Holy Spirit. It's not an easy topic. It's not easy. Because when it comes to God the Father with the creation, you can tell without going into the Bible, there's something big there. They say God, God, God. In every culture, every language, you have a word that describes the universal maker. If we were to go one by one to speak our language, you all give a name to God. Now, when it comes to Jesus, in my Myanga's tribe, Jesus is not there. But Jesus is there now because when a missionary came, they taught about Jesus Christ. And now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, how do you call Holy Spirit in Chinese, in Cantonese culture? Right? Yeah. So, even was it part of the Chinese culture before Christianity? Was it? The Holy Spirit. Did you have the notion of Holy Spirit in the Chinese culture before Christianity came? That's the question I'm asking. Did you have a notion of the Holy Spirit in Chinese culture before Christianity?
No.
That's right. Where I'm going with this, I'm trying to make a case that it's not easy. And that's where it's great for us in the end to come to the full understanding of what the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. When I told some of my African friends that I would like to go to study in a Bible school to learn more about God, one of the leaders of a church, I know whom you don't need it. You don't need it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Wow. And he, by saying that, give me the summary of what many African people get into trouble. I'm an African, I can say this. Well, no, you don't need to go to a Bible school, just the Holy Spirit will teach you. And you know what happened there in Africa? Most of the cases, we end up in the hand of magic, black magic, and self calling it Holy Spirit. Because you're talking about the Holy Spirit, who's understanding God's word. Believe me, you're going to end in the hand of disaster of black magic. And that has been the most of the problem in many, many countries. Studying, working in the Holy Spirit without understanding God's word will all end up in all kind of stuff. Have never nothing to see with Christianity. And then finally, God helped me to come and close my eye to this guy. Yes, thank you. I have the Holy Spirit, but I still need to go to study the word that the Holy Spirit wrote in the first place. I came to Canada. Came to Tyndale. Evangelical Circle, one of the most, highly favored seminars in Canada. The day I was taking preaching, we had to read a few books about how to prepare a preaching, a sermon. And then I read the book, How to Prepare Sermon. I'm looking, they gave all the technique, and I was shocked. I didn't see prayer there. So, isn't it interesting that you can prepare sermon, all the technique, but you don't see prayer in that book? Fair enough, it's one offer, but that's what we're given. And then, as I graduated from Tyndale, I still remain with some of the Tyndale leaders. Have done a few work with some of them. And then one day I did some work with one of them. He gave me a book that he wrote on the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Because I'm telling you, when I start building school in Mali, I based on the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an inspiration. Therefore, I know a little bit about Nehemiah. As this leader gave me his book about Nehemiah, I'm looking all the skill of leadership, principle leadership he's putting there, but I didn't see prayer. I said, leadership, prayer, preaching, I don't see it there. He has given me a general idea about the West that I'm part of right now. Most of the time in the West, we're so focused on analyzing things. You know, trying to analyze everything. It had to be scientifically proven. You have to the point that the Holy Spirit put aside. We have figured out everything by our own intelligence. In the end, your Christian life becomes philosophy, debating each other. And there's no place for the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Africa in general, it's Holy Spirit with a God word. And then you end up in the hand of magic. And here, you have a God word you're analyzing by your own intelligence. And the Holy Spirit is not there. And you end in philosophy, killing each other. Therefore, in Africa and here, we better understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your Christian walk. And this is why, my friend, my brother, my sister, as we come to this important topic today, it starts in the context when Jesus, again in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus just announces to his disciples that he's going to die. And they're shocked. What will happen to us? And in my previous sermon, Jesus will comfort the comforter in chief. In that first sermon, what comfort Jesus gave us, don't worry. Yes, we'll suffer in this world. But I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. He makes us look beyond the trouble of this world. That one day, sooner or later, when everything is said and done, he's coming to take us to be where I am. He said, where I am. Or he didn't say, where I will be. He's already there. He's the great I am. That was a comfort to us. That yes, my allergy, your illnesses, whatever it is, yes, it will make us suffer for a bit. But sooner or later, one day we'll be resting with him there. And now the question is, okay, before that day, we'll still be on earth. What will happen to us here? Good question. What about earth? Before we go to heaven to be where I am, before you finish building my place. And this is where, brother, in that context, Jesus will give more comfort to us. Before you are with me in heaven, on earth, thank to the Holy Spirit, believer, you won't be orphaned. You got to understand, it's a blessing for you and I to not know about orphanage. We don't see many orphans running around here in this country. It's a blessing because we're blessed that life expectancy is higher here. Don't take this for granted. I know that some of us here today, their father and mother are not alive anymore. But we're not calling you orphan. Right? You know, an orphan is someone, we'll put it this way, a child who has lost father and mother and does not know how to take care of himself. And that's why you can see when you're an adult and your father and mother is not there, because you can take care of yourself, nobody call you an orphan. But the orphan is someone, is a child, a baby, or a small child. Let's say, I don't preach about politics in my pulpit. It's not a place to do it. But case in point, this gentleman, 31 years old, who was gunned down in the U.S., his children, how old are they? Three and thing. They're orphans of their father. But thankfully, the mother is still alive and friends are coming around him. The whole point is the orphan is someone is small, can't do anything for him or herself. And yet, you still have to leave. And this is where, when Jesus was leaving, how many years did he spend with his spiritual children? Well, 3 years with the disciple. So they were kind of children, not knowing what to do in a world that was trying to crush them. And this is where you see John 14, 16 to 17, 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Not for a short time, no, forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, if you and I, when you and I become like the world, we don't see the Holy Spirit, we don't know him, we live in a mess and yet calling ourselves Christian. And this is why. One day I was at a Christian conference in Senegal. Our guest speaker came from the U.S., from Atlanta. When he was preaching about the Holy Spirit, he said the damage in our churches is this. If Jesus were to withdraw the Holy Spirit from the church, many churches will continue to function without knowing that the Holy Spirit has gone. Why? Because many churches have been functioning without the Holy Spirit in the first place. Therefore, the warning to you and to me is this. Are you functioning without the Holy Spirit, without knowing it? If that's the case, you are an orphan. You are lost. You are without protection spiritually. And this is why many of us are bankrupt in our spiritual life. Because we have never given room to the Holy Spirit. And therefore today the prayer for God, from my heart to God, for you and for me, individually, collectively, that we will understand the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I are not orphaned anymore in our Christian walk on this planet. Because understanding that will make such a huge difference. And this Holy Spirit stuff, sometimes people pump up themselves in Africa to try to impress other people. It's not given for that reason. The Holy Spirit is not here to make you impress people. It's about to glorify God. And this is why the person, understanding the person of the Holy Spirit, is very important. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person. Understand that. It's not it. That is he. He's a human being. He's a person, I will say. He is a person who can speak. You listen to. We have feeling. And yet, we can't see him with our naked eye. And that's where it gets confusing to us. Tell me, do you believe that air, oxygen exists? Do you believe oxygen exists? Do you? Have you ever seen oxygen with your naked eye? No. And yet you believe he exists. You and I were thankful to the Lord that we're all breathing. You know, when breathing, you know something is coming in and out. But do you see it? You don't. And this is why this is our notion to help us. Yes, the Holy Spirit, you cannot see him, your naked eye, and yet his effect is there for you, Christian, to know, yes, the world cannot see him, but I see him. Without him, I cannot function. He is a person. And yes, he is one. Right? He is one of the three persons of the Trinity. The word Trinity, you will never see that in the Bible. The word Trinity, you won't see it, but you see the principle. I'll show you a few things. Matthew 3:16-17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a lightning on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." For the first time, the Trinity is shown here vividly. What you're going to see You see here, Jesus is there. You see the Spirit of God in the shape of a bird, dove. And guess what? God the Father from heaven. That's why when we see Trinity God in one God in three person, here's evident right there. God the Father speaking from heaven, this is my son. And the Holy Spirit is sitting on him. The three are here. And then another thing you're going to see, 2 Corinthians chapter 13:14. May the grace of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. You see right there, this is one of our favorite ways of blessing people at the end of a service. You see, Jesus Christ, defined by grace. God, defined by love, the love there. And then the Holy Spirit is fellowship. And this is where you see God manifesting three persons working for us, in us. And yet God the Father about love. God loved the world so much. It's about love. He created this all thing. I always tell people, it was after the beautiful creation of the whole world that God created you and me, last person. Human being was created the last day, on the 6 days. The 7th day he rested. Can you imagine creating us without creating water? It wouldn't work. Can you imagine creating us without putting air, light there? What do you do without light? God beautiful created all the things because he loves you. So, oh, no. I love Michael so much. When Michael will come so that he can have light, he can have water to drink, he can have fruit to eat. But to create Michael and say, oh, Michael, what do you need? Do you need light? No. He created all this because he loves us. That's why God is defined by love. And then when we mess up in our life and run away from him, he still loves us by sending his son Jesus to show her grace. Grace means favor you did not work for. That's where Jesus came and died. So that the love of God that we have run away from, that he can brought us back in that love. And normally you should pay for the penalty. But he paid for it. And that's where he is associated with grace. His grace has brought you back to the love of God that you ran away from. And now as his grace has been done on the earth, on the cross, and then he went in heaven, how are you going to continue to live in God's love and Jesus' grace for the rest of your life before you go to heaven when your room is finished? How can you do the rest of your life to do that? That's where the fellowship of the Holy Spirit comes to be with you. I have fellowship. That's what we call fellowship in our church. When we talk about fellowship, it means we want to be together. Whether eating food together, walking together, playing together. That's what we call fellowship. That the Holy Spirit does that to be with us so that we can remain in God's love. We can remain in God's grace. And this is where you can start to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in each one. Because sometimes we give this formulation at the end, but people don't understand what it means. But today, I hope that you understand how valuable, how rich these things are for us. And this is where, brother and sister, you see, in the end, he is God. He is God. Because they work together for all this for us. And that's why, brother and sister, let's come to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now that we understand he is God. And he is with us to maintain us in God's love. To maintain us in God's grace in Jesus Christ. What does he do? Quickly, you know, it's the incoming Holy Spirit. John 3:5. Do you remember this is when Nicodemus went nighttime to see Jesus Christ? This is the beginning of the Christian life, the new birth. The Holy Spirit had to come on you. All of us, again, the day you gave your life to Jesus, if you have done that, the Holy Spirit come on you. Again, remember, you don't see him with your naked eye. You look like the same Jace, the same Nuhum. But the day he led you to Christ, your life have changed thanks to the work of the Spirit. And yes, you have what you call the sealing Holy Spirit. The sealing means, you see, it's like you put your seal on the paper. That's my mark. Anywhere you see this, that's my mark. Your signature. Your Holy Spirit is this God mark that Guaike belong to me. The Holy Spirit on Pastor Terrence, everywhere he goes, oh, God is lead him. You don't know what? He belonged to me. I was a shepherd for 5 years in Mali. In Africa, people, you belong, we all have goat and thing. Sometimes they mix up. In the end, how do you differentiate? This is where we start to put mark of what of our on our animals. And it got even to a point, tribes start to put mark on their faces. Every tribe has a different kind of mark. When you see people with that mark, you say, oh, he is this tribe from Mali. Or you have this mark on your animal. You can mix up with 5 million animals. You walk in there, you can just spot your own animal based on the mark. Do you know that the Holy Spirit coming on you, in this 7 billion people, everywhere you go, you won't be lost to God because his Spirit is the mark on you, that you belong to him. And that's why it's called the sealing. Go to Ephesians 1, 6 to 13, 12 to 6 to 13. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit who will come and stay. It used to be based on the specific call that you have from God. The Holy Spirit will come for a short time to anoint you and to do that work and leave. That's how kings were anointed. Priests were anointed. The Holy Spirit is there in the Old Testament. But to come and dwell with us permanently, forever, it starts at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But before that, it will come back and forth. But to come and dwell with us, to stay with us, you see, permanently, it starts in the book of Acts. And yes, you have what you call the overflowing Spirit. He's not just there to be with you, but to fill every aspect of your life. You see the progressing way? He come, dwell with you, in you, and fill every aspect of your life. And yes, he is the witnesses, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Where? In Judea. Where? In Samaria. Where? To the end of the world. The Holy Spirit does that. And yes, brothers and sisters, understand that the Holy Spirit is the offer of the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the divine offer of the Scripture. You see, 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus Christ when he was baptized. Jesus there. But the word of God came to attest it, to affirm it, to confirm it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one has inspired, has guided the Bible offer to write all these things for us. As Jesus told you that the Holy Spirit will remind us of his word. And he did it in the New Testament for us. And that's why you can see, when I said to my fellow African, I'm going to come to study God's word. Oh, no, no, no. The Holy Spirit is enough. The Holy Spirit is not enough without the word that he breathed in the first place. The Holy Spirit worked with his word. Telling someone not to study that word is misleading. Understand that. understand, study, and then studying that word without the Holy Spirit is also equally misleading. And that's why we're worse. We have so many versions of Bibles. But since we have run away from the Holy Spirit, it does not touch people alive anymore. It does not make impactful thing on us. But the Holy Spirit is the one who had to take us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to train us in righteousness, in good thing, so that we can be equipped to do good work. You see? And this is why, brother and sister, understand that there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Don't ever, ever, ever separate. God's Spirit and God's Word should never be separated. They cannot be separated. John 16, 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but he, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he heard. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That's scripture. That's why he inspired the 40 authors of the Bible to write the scripture for us. And that's why, brothers and sisters, always walk in the Spirit by walking in the Word of God. Always. The more you study, the more you understand God's Word, the more you are walking in the Holy Spirit. But try to dissociate that two things. You're either in speculation in the West or in magic in Africa or in the rest of the world. And guess what? It can happen to both. Therefore, how do we live and walk and minister in the Holy Spirit? You see, an unknown author says this, brothers and sisters. You see, that the Holy Spirit is inextricably linked to the Word of God as the divine author who inspires its writing and the ongoing revealer who illuminates its meaning for understanding and application. The Spirit gives life and power to a written text, bringing it to life and conforming believer to Christ. Conforming believer to Christ. Conversely, the Word of God is the primary vehicle through which the Spirit speaks and works to shape believers, as the Spirit never contradicts the Scripture he inspired. Please take this. Please understand this. This is why you need to be the man, the woman of God's Word. And believe me, the Spirit will be working vividly in you. By understanding this connection between God's Word and God's Spirit, guess what? You're going to see what happens with the Holy Spirit produces the character of Christ in believer. And what are those characters? Go to Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. You have a 9 fruit. Love. 2, joy. 3, peace. 4, patience. 5, kindness. 6, goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. These are the characters that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you while you're on earth. Therefore, you can understand how important it is to walk in the Holy Spirit. The question is, look at those 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Where are you struggling? If you know you're struggling in any one of these here, is the sign that you need more work of the Holy Spirit in you. You need it. When you're suffering with the lack of kindness, faithfulness, joy, there's no joy in your life, and you're blaming everybody around you, You're always grumpy around. Sit and say, "God, Holy Spirit, I need your work in my life." And this is why again and again I say we are all work in progress. And we, as I said, you cannot say, "Oh, my wife is a faithful person, but that's her fruit. By my fruit, I can't be faithful. You've been troubled." The point is this. All this character need to be developed in all of us. You need to be someone full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you imagine every person on this planet Earth feel of this? You will be already in heaven here. But this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's why he has been sent to you. Understanding this, that's why you can see the fellowship is to do this in you. And that's why when we are in fellowship, when we say fellowship, what do we want to develop under our fellowship when we meet? These are the fruit we want to develop. Very simple. When we meet to eat together, to play together, we want to have joy. We have to have peace. But if we're punching each other, well, there's no peace. But when we're embracing each other, when we're hugging each other, when we're sharing food with each other, we're happy with each other. You see, that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit doing that in us. And guess what? The wealth is not finished yet. These are qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in people who are living in accord with God's Spirit. Contrasting with the work of the flesh mentioned in the preceding verses. When you go before verse 22, you're going to see the fruit of the flesh. Adultery, all kind of things. But for you, this is what, as believers in Christ, God wants us to do. And yes, in the end, you see, the Holy Spirit gives also what? What we call the gift. Give believer gift to serve God and people. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. You'll be shocked. There too, we saw nine fruit in the first verse, in the first part of the fruit of the Spirit. In this chapter, you're going to see nine gifts. Nine gifts. Here the first one, the word of wisdom. Wow. Who does not need wisdom? Here, who does not need wisdom? Wisdom is a treasure. To have wisdom for your life, wisdom for your family, wisdom for your ministry is needed. And guess what? This is the first gift in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Second one, word of knowledge. I have some word of knowledge for you. And yes, three, faith. Gift of healing. Working of miracle. Prophecy, discerning of spirit, discernment. Who does not need discernment? You need discernment not to make make good decision. Various kind of tongue and nine interpretation of tongue. Oh, the Holy Spirit is needed. Not only have the fruit of love, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of self-control, but guess what? To have the word of wisdom. All this to make your earth, you're not an orphan. When you have this, you can do anything. You're not an orphan. And that's why you can see how much important is the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The purpose of this spiritual gift is for the edification and benefit of the church, with the Holy Spirit distributing them to each believer individually as he wills. What's the difference with the fruit of the Spirit? The nine fruit of the Spirit, I told you, we all need to develop all the aspects of it. But here, guess what? The Bible does not say, well, if you're a Christian, you can have working of miracle. No, no, no. We're all not called to do miracle here. He will choose a few of us as he will to give you the gift of doing miracle. And you see, there's a flexibility. And in that too, it's designed in a way to cultivate unity. If we all can do miracle, we won't need each other. We can't. We won't need each other. If we all can do healing, guess what? We won't need each other. For the sake of building unity so we can work together, he gives this gift to that one, this gift to that one, and they work together. Fellowship for the fruit, and yet work in unity together in the giftedness. And that's why, brother and sister, whatever gift God has given you, the question is this: are you using it to build unity in the church, starting in your family? But the problem for many of us, especially those who have the, you know, fancy one, that work of miracle are so appealing, all of a sudden you're on a pedestal, you start to look down on everybody, you start to impress people. It's not for impressing people. It's about to use it to glorify God and to build unity. Whatever gift God has given you here, say, Lord, I don't know what my gift, but make it clear to me. And then when you make it clear to me, am I using it to make myself impressive, or am I using it to bring glory to you and to build unity? If the question is, if the answer is yes, praise be to him. And yes, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is our comforter in the troubled world. You and I, in this troubled world where we're supposed to be orphaned, we're not orphaned anymore. He is our counselor. And yes, here it is. He guides us in the truth of Jesus Christ. He comforts us through the word and promises of Jesus Christ. He makes us new in the character of Christ. And he equips us to serve our God and people, the church. And yes, brother and sister, finally, in closing, be filled of the Holy Spirit. Be filled of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, 17 to 18 says this: therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord wills is. Do not get drunk on wine. I'm glad he did not say don't drink wine. This is different, right? I'm not telling you to drink wine. But he said, don't get drunk. I know, but depending on your your church culture. I grew up in a culture in Mali, you cannot touch wine whatsoever. That was a conservative home in which I grew up. I never touched wine in my life when I was in Africa until I was invited to preach in Hungary, Eastern Europe. Before coming here in Canada, 2011 in August, I was invited to go to Hungary. I met some Hungarian pastor when I went to a conference in Amsterdam in 2000. Became friends with those Hungarian there. 1 year later, they invited me to Budapest. I spent 2 weeks traveling across Hungary, 5 different cities where I preach. Everywhere I went, the pastor would come, Pastor Noah, we have red wine, we have white wine. The first one I say no. All of a sudden, they start to repeat. I say, oh, I think I'm offending these people. In the end, I say yes. Since that day, I start to drink wine to this day, but not drunk on it. I'm explaining in a context. This is where, again, you have to listen to the Spirit and be flexible. Don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know why? When you, even here on 401, don't be drunk on beyond the wheel, right? Don't be drunk on beyond the wheel. Because when you're drunk, it controls every aspect of your life on the road. The wine takes over every motion you're doing. Take the opposite. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit take over every aspect of your life, you know what you're going to get? Love, kindness, fruitfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, the gift of miracle, healing, all the gifts come to you. You see, that's where the choice is yours. In the end, the choice is yours. Do you want to continue to live an orphan, like an orphan on this planet Earth? Say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I don't need you. And you know where it will end? You'll be crushed in every way, and your life will be useless, meaningless. But if you're due to say, Holy Spirit, come and make Jesus mine, living in his love, living in his grace, and living in your fellowship, your life, even if short, will make a huge impact on this planet Earth, starting in your own family and starting your own local church. And this is why today, one more time before the end of the year, in the spirit of this sermon, I want to give you some anointing and briefly pray for each and all of you. God knows at what level you are in the filling of your Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, when you go in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit name is mentioned in the Holy Spirit more or less 56 times. 56 times in the book of Acts. That's where the church was. The Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter boldly preached, and God added 3,000 people to the church. It did not say Peter added 3,000 people. It did not say, oh, the church added 3,000 people. No, 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 it was not the church. It's God working through the Holy Spirit, through the gift of preaching of Peter. My prayer is this, as the Holy Spirit touch all of us, that as you boldly function in your gifted area with the fruit of the Spirit, that God will add something to this church, including you. Church is not a wall. It's you yourself and me. That he will add something valuable to you. And in the same book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit is mentioned 56 times, when it comes to prayer, the book of Acts, prayer is mentioned about 30 times. It tells you the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and prayer go together. And as we receive this anointing that God will develop in each and all of us, the spirit of his prayer, because the prayer is to make you humble. Anybody who makes prayer his or her weapon, that person is a person of humility, because you know without God, you can't do it. And that's why you humble yourself and seek for his will, seek for his power. And guess what? When God make it happen, a man and a woman of prayer will go back to the same knees and give all the glory to God. Say, yes, I remember praying for this. And now you answer my prayer. It's not me who did it. It's not me. It's not I. It's you. Therefore, I'm coming back to you in a prayer of gratitude to say thank you for doing that for me. And this is why, you see, in a full circle, the Holy Spirit is a wonderful personal gift to have in your life. Your action will become like a microphone. That microphone, yes, I have a strong voice, but the microphone make it bigger, can go more than I can do. The Spirit will take your natural quality and make them more powerful. Therefore, brother and sister, for the sake of time, one more time, I won't shake your hand because of my allergy, but I can touch your forehead, right? Pastor.
This is the benefit of having a small church, right?
Stand up, please. Heavenly Father, we're here before you individually, collectively, as a church, called by your name, by your grace, by your love, by your fellowship. You know each and all of us in our individual and collective walk with you and our ministries. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit to us, where we have prevented the Spirit to fill us, to dwell in us, because of the act of the flesh, please forgive us. Cleanse us in the blood of your Son, Jesus. And yes, take over every aspect of our life, our spiritual life, physical life, emotional, intellectual, financial. Lord, that you will be the only one filling us up. Lord, the work, those of us who are struggling with the fruit, whatever fruit that they need to be mature in, make that clear to them. And let your Spirit develop that fruit, ripen it for your glory. Those of us who don't know what are exactly their giftedness, make that clear to them. And Lord, those who have already known their giftedness, for all of us as they join the rest of us, that will always use those gifts to build up our fellow brother and sister in our home and our families, yes, in our workplace, in our church here, and in the world. That in all this, Heavenly Father, let your name be glorified until you come back and take us home for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.